So this morning, as I mentioned, we're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to be making a whistle-stop tour of the top five major events in world history in 20 or so minutes. But we'll be making this tour with the Bible as our guide rather than the History Channel or National Geographic, because interesting or not, as you might find that kind of history, all that's really essential for us to know about life and life everlasting is in the Scriptures. It's in the Word of God. History is His story. So hopefully this morning we'll be reminded once more about how deeply involved God is and how interested He is in each of our lives. The unspoken question in every human heart is this: do I matter? Read the Bible and you will soon see that the answer to that question is an unequivocal yes. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God cared enough to send His Son. Now, we recognize and we celebrated the incarnation of God just a few days ago, but we need to be reminded constantly of the message of Christmas, regardless of the time of year. And there are five critical events in world history that we need to know and we need to understand. And today we'll be having a look at those events, and we'll see their significance, not only for the whole world, but also for each of us as individuals. The very first one is that God created. World history begins with God. The first four words of the Bible are among the most important and most profound words ever written. In the beginning, God. He is the pre-existent, eternal God who exists above and beyond time itself. There never has been and there never will be a time when God is not. Before the heavens and the earth existed, God is. When time, space, and matter as we know it ceases to exist, God will be. He is the eternal God. Now, this concept of eternity confuses us, and our minds can't truly grasp this concept, but God is over and above all things, including time. Genesis 1 verse 1 places this timeless, eternal God before the beginning of all things, and then goes on to proclaim creation. God created everything that exists. In the beginning, He was already there, and He had already been there for time eternal. Before there was a heaven and an earth, God is. God was and God will be. He was never created. He existed before there was a creation. God created the universe, the earth, the plants, the animals, and His greatest creation, mankind. Genesis 1 verse 27 says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Now, the Bible makes no effort to disprove the lie of evolution, because there's no need to. Truth is our shield against that lie. There is no evolution. There is no crawling out of the slime. Human beings are a direct divine creation of Almighty God. He created us for His pleasure and for His glory. God created us for His fellowship. So what is the significance of this first critical event in world history? It shows us that God is the author and the director of history. It is His story. He began history and He is actively involved in the continuation of history. It shows us that God alone is in control of the universe and the direction of history. It also shows us that human beings are not God, despite the fact that we like to think that we are at times. We are created beings created by an uncreated God. Created in His image, we may well be, but God is infinitely superior to us. And as His created beings, we are accountable to Him and we are responsible to Him. We owe Him our very lives for the simple reason that He gave us this gift of life in the first place. Job was right when he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away." So the very first critical event in history is that in the beginning, God created. The second major event in world history is that man sinned. Genesis 2, 16 to 17. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Our first parents directly transgressed God's commandment, as we read in the following chapter, in Genesis 3, verses 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. God makes the rules. It is his creation. We are his created beings, and that gives him the right to set the boundaries. Why are good old-fashioned morals eroding in the modern world? It is because we refuse to submit to the God-given boundaries clearly set out for us in Scripture. What happened in the Garden of Eden all those years ago continues to this day. And this pattern has repeated itself on a daily basis throughout history. God gave Adam a command to not do something. And his rules are not random, they're not arbitrary. God, in his love and his concern for us, sets the rules that are best for us. He knew what was best for Adam, and he commanded him to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we broke God's rules. Influenced by Satan, Adam and Eve decided that they knew better than God. And Satan knew exactly which button to press. You will be like God. That has always been the attraction of sin. It's my life, and I will do what I want to do. Adam and Eve disobeyed God's commands, and they took matters into their own hands. And that's essentially what sin is. It is disobeying and rebelling against the God who created us. They were given a choice, and they chose badly. And the result is that sin came into the world, which meant that death was also brought into our lives. So what is the significance of this major event in the history of the world? Sin came into the world, and it continues to be in the world. Man rebelled against God, and that rebellion continues today. And death is still the consequence of sin. But despite all of this, despite the tragedy and the awful sadness brought about by sin, it didn't catch God by surprise. He knew that we would fall. Sin did not throw God's eternal plan off track. And world history was and still is in his control. But as a result of sin, we all live under the curse of sin. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we have to pay the penalty of that sin, which is spelled out for us in Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Because of sin, everything changed. Man sinned, which is the second major event in world history. But then comes the good news. Then comes the third critical event in the history of the world. Jesus came. Before creation, let alone before the fall in the grace in the Garden of Eden, the Lord had a plan in place to conquer sin and to conquer its consequences. We looked at this great plan of salvation last Sunday. The sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross for you and for me was not plan B. The plan of redemption is as eternal as the timeless God himself. 1 Peter 1, verse 20, speaking about Jesus, puts it like this. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Before God created the heavens and the earth, he already had a plan to conquer sin. And that plan has a name, Jesus Christ. Jesus came. God himself came in human form, and he gave himself on the cross of Calvary for our sins. The gospel is the good news of God's glorious plan to reconcile his holiness and his love with sinful human beings. God is holy. Sin cannot exist in his presence. But at the same time, he is love, and he doesn't want any of us to perish. And so his plan for us was that a sinless Jesus would be the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, why did he do this? Was it just so that we could be forgiven? So that we could feel a bit better about ourselves? No, we need to remember that he is the eternal God. So he sees everything from an eternal perspective. Because we are finite beings, we only have a limited view. And forgiveness of sin is not the final part of God's plan. His ultimate plan for us is that we would spend eternity with him. Now, we had this amazing gift in the Garden of Eden, but it was only temporary as a result of sin. And God had to do for us what we cannot do. He had to reverse the devastating effects and consequences of our sin and restore us to what and who we are created to be. Now, because of Jesus and his atoning death on our behalf, that awful penalty of sin, death itself, has been paid. And Jesus' resurrection means that we also will be resurrected on the last day. Eternity with the eternal God is really what it's all about. When we turn to Christ in repentance and we are granted the free gift of salvation, we are freed from the penalty of sin. That's the first thing that happens. Then by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, we are freed from the power of sin in our lives. And one day in glory, we will be set free forever from the presence of sin. So Jesus came. Now what does that mean? What's the significance of that event in history? It means that the Lord has made a way for man to come out from under the curse of sin. And the plan is simply brilliant, and it is brilliantly simple. God gave himself to overcome the sins of man. In essence, what he says to us is, there is nothing that you can do to reverse the penalty of your sin. But I love you so much that I will do whatever is necessary in order for you to spend eternity with me. I will pay the price. Jesus Christ is that price. And he provides a way, the only way, for us to receive forgiveness and to be reconciled to our Creator. Jesus came. The fourth major event in world history is that Jesus will return. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. The Bible records not only past world events, but it also gives us a peek into the future of world events. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will return. One day, he will descend from heaven, and we will see him in all of his glory. The first time he came as a fragile baby. Most of the world didn't notice, and most of the world didn't care. In fact, countless people today still don't notice and still don't care. But when he comes the second time, there will be no mistaking just who this is. One day an angel of the Lord will give a great victory shout and the trumpet of God will sound around the entire world. And Jesus will take those who are his home to be with him for all of eternity. Those who have chosen to believe in him and accept the forgiveness which he offers will receive the most precious gift of all, eternal life. If your name is written in the book of life, then the promise of Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4 is for you. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. If you are a Christian, then know this and believe this. The reward for your faith in Christ will be eternity with him. 1 Peter 1 verses 8 and 9 just puts it so wonderfully. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, his word to you today is to persevere, to take courage. The struggles and the evils of this world will pass. But there is a frightening alternative for those who do not believe. At the end of Revelation chapter 6 is a dreadful prophecy of what will happen to non-believers when Jesus returns in all his glory. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Make no mistake, when Jesus returns, everyone will know that he is the Son of God. This is what Paul was writing about in Philippians chapter 2. When he said, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those who have chosen in this life to reject Jesus will be granted that wish for eternity, because they will spend it in a place where he is not. A question often asked by non-Christians is, how can a God of love send anyone to hell? I know you've heard this before, but you may not have. The answer to that question might surprise you. God will not send anyone to hell. Every person in hell will be there because they have chosen to be there. Just think about that for a moment. There are people who have chosen in this life to say, I don't need Jesus. Hell is the place where that wish will be granted them, and it will be granted them forever. Jesus will return. And the significance of that event in history is that it tells us that history is linear. It is not cyclical. It doesn't go around and around. World history has a definite beginning, and it will also have a definite end. History and life, time and space as we know it, will at one point in the future cease to exist. And those who trust in Jesus Christ will live forever with God in a place called heaven. And those who do not trust in Jesus Christ will live forever in a place without God called hell. The first four major events in world history: God created, man sinned, Jesus came, and Jesus will return. And the fifth major event is today. Today is the most crucial day ever for you. You are a created human being, created by God Almighty. And as a created being, whether you like it or not, you answer to him. You're accountable to him. He gave you life itself, and because of that, you owe him absolutely everything. And you are called to live within the rules and the parameters that he has set for you. And the reason we don't like that is quite simple. It's called sin. We chose to reject God's love, and we would rather do things our way, thank you very much. That is what rebellion is really all about. However, that choice leaves us with a problem. As a human being, you live under the curse of sin, and the wages of your sin is still death. But Jesus came for you. Jesus went to the cross for you. He died that horrible death so that you might be freed from the chains of sin forever. And he provides a way, the only way, for you to be forgiven and to be reconciled to this holy God. And one day Jesus is coming back, and he's going to take all those who trust in him to his home in heaven for eternity. And the rest will be condemned forever in hell. Now, what does that mean? What is the significance of this major event in world history? The decision that you make about Jesus will decide your history for an eternity. If you know who Jesus is, but you have yet to bow the knee, confess your sins, and proclaim him as Lord, then all I can say is this, and I make no apology for being blunt: stop wasting valuable time. You are one heartbeat away from eternity. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah when he says, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." You know, history, human history, is full of triumph and tragedy. Countless books have been written. There's an almost endless supply of movies and documentaries which trace the stories and the life and times of the rich and the famous. But history is really his story. And when it's all been said and done, when you cut through all the peripherals, and when you draw your final breath in this life, there will only be five events which really matter. God created, man sinned, Jesus came, Jesus will return, and today. And the question for us each today is, what have we chosen? What is your choice? Who is Jesus Christ in your heart? Let us pray. Father, we have heard over and over again, countless times, that you sent your Son to the cross to die to pay the price of our sin. And Lord, we thank you for those in this place today who have bowed the knee and have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. And this gift of faith that you've given us in his atoning work on the cross has signed, sealed, and delivered our eternal salvation. But Lord, there may be some here today who have yet to bow the knee, who know about Jesus, but they don't know him. And Father, we all have friends and loved ones who know the truth of the gospel, but have yet to bow the knee. And we pray, Lord, that you would soften those hardened hearts, that you would give your church a sense of urgency in sharing the truth of the gospel of Christ. This wonderful news that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. But also, Lord, to remind us that time is running out. We have no guarantee of what's going to happen in 5 minutes' time, let alone tomorrow and next year. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the atoning death for our sin. That you are the one who has restored us to the Father. We give you all honor, praise, and glory. And we pray that you would soften the hearts of those who have yet to submit to you. To your glory and to yours alone we pray. Amen.